Amen. He certainly does care. And everything that we're going through in life is Him trying to prove that to us. Amen. We have not because we ask not. Praise His wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. So nice to be back here with you again this morning. Beautiful. You know, we went from, summer to winter. You know, we didn't really get fall this year, but so this is about normal temperatures, I think, and which is not bad if you live in the Southwest. It's okay, where'd my message just go? There are places that are buried in snow this morning, and we got to put on a sweater. Wah. Praise the Lord. Well, we have several that are out sick or self-quarantining, so we want to just keep remembering each and every one in prayer. This week we've surpassed so we had a peak in June, July from COVID, and this last week we've exceeded that peak. So this next peak, the one that we're in, this is typical flu season. So they anticipated and fully expected that this go around would be worse than the previous one that we had in it was kind of the tail end of the flu season from last year. So just continue doing what you know to do. Don't relax. Just continue doing it. And it'll be over soon. Praise the Lord. At the border, part 3. Joshua chapter 5. We'll start at the first verse. Joshua 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. It was about 3 days. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day, or rolling off. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even in the plains of Jericho. Recall that this time of the Passover that they kept on the 14th day, it was 40 years to the day of them leaving Egypt after and having celebrated the Passover feast at that time. And they did eat of the corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna that fell from heaven, The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So they were no longer feeding on what they fed on. I hope somebody's listening. They weren't feeding on what they fed on in the wilderness journey. They were now feeding on manna that was in the land. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. We'll read one more scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, a New Testament witness. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we ask that you would anoint our thinking, Lord, that you would take your word past our mental faculties, and Lord, may it find its resting place in our soul. And Lord, may you speak to us, speak to our hearts. May you reveal your word to us, each and every one. May you tell us what you meant by what you said, Lord. Amen. May it go from being logos to rhema this morning, Lord, the portion that you would quicken to us and make live. And Father, we'll surely give you praise and honor and glory. We ask that you be with all of our brothers and sisters that are at home this morning, Lord, that are listening in. We ask that you would strengthen them, Lord, that you would heal those that are sick. And Lord, bring them back safely amongst us, we pray. And Father, may your anointing be upon each and every one. And we surely give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. So last time we saw that the children of Israel, they departed from Egypt on their exodus, and at the time of their departure, shortly after their departure, all the males were circumcised at the start of the journey. And we saw that the circumcision actually represents the rolling back of the reproach of Egypt from the people. And we know that there are two purposes for this first great exodus that we read about in the scriptures. The first purpose was to call the people out from slavery, out from the bondage of Egypt. So it was a deliverance ministry. It was bringing them out of something. And the people were set aside unto the Lord that God had given exceeding and great and precious promises to, as he had promised to Abraham some 400 years plus prior. And the people were to be different from the people of the world. And they were to be dependent entirely upon God, on a God that wanted to be their provider. He didn't just want to be called Father. He wanted to be everything that implies. So the second purpose for the Exodus, of course, the first purpose was to come out of something completely. The second purpose was to go into something. In this case, it was to go into a promised land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land that was foreshadowing the millennium that is to come, but it's not a perfect type of the millennium, of course, because a shadow never is a perfect type. A shadow is like what you're going to see, but it's not what you're going to see in its fullness, of course. So in this land, they would be given an inheritance according to the tribe that they were born under. Each tribe would inhabit a certain portion of the land. And God intended for that inheritance to stay in that tribe, to stay in that family throughout all generations. And it was a land where all the blessings resided for the people. God did not bless them outside of the land. He blessed them in the land. And God could not bless them outside of the land of their inheritance. His promises were for them in the land. Are you with me? So as they crossed over into this land, after 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness, the Lord directed that there would be a second act of circumcision performed on the males to roll away the reproach of Egypt from them also. God waited for the doubters of the prior generation to die off before taking the believers, the true believers, into the land. Now, friends, those that died off, they weren't devils. Those that didn't go into the land, they weren't devils. But those that did not go into the land from the prior generation, they lacked the faith to believe the word concerning their day. As we pointed out on last Sunday night, it is not our intention, nor is it our objective, to point out those that fell short of the promise and failed to cross over into the land. That's not the point. We aren't trying to alienate one generation from another and say this generation's better than that generation, or to promote one over another. But we want to recognize that we need to go over into all that God has for us in whatever time frame that we're living in, period. Neither are we saying or even implying that only the new generation went in, because that's not true. We know that there were some, perhaps many, from the prior generation that went over. We know that many perhaps passed away. They got old and they passed away in the journey and never got to the border and crossed over, but they were still believers. Moses was in that group, friends. So our focus is not on who didn't cross over. That's not our focus. Our focus is in recognizing that there is a people that are crossing over into the fullness of the word in this hour, and it might as well be you and I. Now, friends, you and I, we're living in a day when obedience to a partial word is no longer acceptable, because we now have the full word, which is necessary for full and complete redemption. So we are now responsible for the fullness of the word. But before this new generation can possess the land, possess the fullness of the word, a purging is required. There has to be a cutting away of things before you can take your full inheritance. So the first circumcision in our day, in our Exodus, if you will, took place in the early days of Brother Branham's ministry, when he was cutting away from the church the notion of that was for another day. You say, what are you talking about? Well, there's a whole lot of things that went into that category. That was for another day. Whether it was divine healing, whether it was deliverance, whether it was miracles, whether it was the spiritual gifts that Paul spoke about and taught on, whether it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whether it's the revealing of the restored truth, the reproach of the denominations had put everything into another day and had taught people that those things can't happen any longer. Those things don't happen today. And yet we found shortly after Israel began in their wilderness journey that they were brought to a city by the name of Kadesh Barnea, which was the seat of judgment for them. There were springs, there were waters that were flowing through the city. And we know that 12 spies were chosen, one from each tribe. They were handpicked. Each tribe chose their leader, their representative, to represent them to cross over, to go and cross over into the promised land, and then come back with a report of what it was that they saw. Yeah. And of course, we know that 10 spies came back with an evil report. In fact, the 10 spies that came back with an evil report had already filled out their report before they left. Sure. They went over, they tasted of the land, and they saw that it was good, but their report was, we can't possess it. This is not for us. Instead, they went over and they took pictures of what they saw, and then they photoshopped a PowerPoint presentation. And as they're taking all these pictures, they're going click, click, click with the camera. And the things that they came up with, all the teaching and all the ideas that they came up with, they form cliques over. And friends, that's what denominations are. Yep. That's what a teaching where you're just emphasizing a portion, that's what it results in, is a clique. believe this or you're not in, majoring on one portion instead of taking the whole thing. So at Kadesh, the 10 spies, they refused to go over, and they even accused Moses of bringing them and their children into the wilderness so that they would perish there. Goodness, can you imagine that? That would be like some of you saying, well, you know, we came out of the denominations and we came to be a part of this church. But you know what, Brother Baker, your ministry, you called us to come out of all that so that we could die. That's just crazy, isn't it? Some wanted to go back. And of course, some spiritually, they did. Even though they continued on in the journey, their hearts weren't in it. But friends, our inheritance that God has given us, it's available to each and every one of us this morning. But their testimony was, it's beyond our reach. Our inheritance is beyond our reach. We saw giants when we went over into the land, and we're no match for them. In fact, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. And as we pointed out before, how did they know what they look like in the sight of the giants? Did they go over there and talk to them and say, hey, giant, what do we look like to you? They're bringing their interpretation of what they saw in the land instead of just saying what they saw in the land. And of course, they gave an evil report, and God swore when they came back and gave that evil report, God swore they would never cross over into the land. And yet they continued on towards the promised land for 40 years. They said the land is occupied. But two stood up out of the 12 after seeing the very same land. In fact, they didn't just see the same land. They didn't just hang out on the border, but they crossed over. They went to Hebron and they tasted. They grabbed a hold of the clusters of grapes and began to eat, and the pomegranates and the figs, and just had a Pentecostal jubilee. They're foaming at the mouth and just having a real good old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting, and just enjoying the land, tasting of the goodness of it. And perhaps time got away from them. And then they realized that the other spies had already went back. And so they realized, you know what, we got to go back and give a report. And of course, they gave a different report than the 10 spies gave first. They stood up, they saw the land, and they had a different testimony. Their testimony was, we are more than able. We are more than able. In fact, not only are we more than able, let's take it at once. We don't need to wander around. Let's go and take our inheritance right now. We don't need to wait for something off in the future to take place in order for us to inhabit our promises. We don't need somebody else to rise up to take us over. Let's take it now. Amen? Amen. In other words, actually they said it's just exactly like what the prophet said. It's exactly like what Moses said. The scripture said that Caleb, Joshua, they wholly believed the word of the Lord. They completely believe it. And they said, you know what? You don't just have to take our word for it. We brought back some evidence. Taste it. We've given you a word message, but we're not coming to you in word only. Taste it yourself and see if these things be so. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's exactly what the prophet said it was, and here's the evidence. So they weren't looking at the circumstances. They weren't looking with their natural sight. They weren't reporting on what their natural sight declared. But they were looking at what God's word said and what God had declared. And it was another 40 years from that point before they came back to this very same crossing. They wandered around in the wilderness with all the rest. But God swore at the time that they gave that right report, God swore that they would possess that land. And God said, I'm giving them their inheritance now, even though they were the last ones to actually possess it when they got into the land. Right. And we find today that the same obstacles that the first generation were faced with, the new generation now is faced with. We went last Sunday, we went through a short list of things that needed to be cut away in our day with a sharp knife. And of course, we know that sharp knife represents the Word of God. And it needs to be cut away by the Holy Ghost through men that are willing to do it, that are not afraid, that know how to use that sword. And I want you to notice that everything that needs to be cut away is saying in one way or another, we can't do it. So whatever it is, it's we can't, we can't, we can't. Maybe it can be done, but not on us or not by us. No more spiritual gifts, no more divine healing, no more miracles, no further unfolding of the word to us, no experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the true new birth, and so forth. In fact, we need Moses to come back to finish his ministry and take us into the land. But that was not what was to take place. There are giants in our land. Our inheritance is there, but these giants, they're too great. They're keeping us from our inheritance. We can't face them. Our land, friends, is divine healing. But there are giants of sickness and cancer and anxiety and female trouble and allergies and high blood pressure, and they're just too great for us to run off of our land. Friends, if you only realized how fearful those demons are of you that are speaking on your land, and they are keeping you from possessing your promises, but they must move. Now, we know that the land represents many things. One thing it represents is a separated walk unto God. A faith walk, a sanctified walk. But they said, but we can't do that, though. That's only for Brother Branham. Only Brother Branham was supposed to, you know, walk closely with the Lord. And only he could live this kind of a life. And yet there's a people that believe God's word. And they believe that God's word has promised them an inheritance. And they are taking their mountain. Even as we speak, this is not something that's going to happen. It's something that is happening. Friends, the price has been paid. And we can and we will take every divine promise that the Word has promised to us. We will walk in what the Word has declared for our day. There's a vision. The Word is a vision, and then it's Word. So there's a prophecy that's already been spoken pertaining to the people living in the end time. And the people living in the end time are overcoming, and they're possessing every divine promise from the Word of God, and they will take a body change. Amen. We're in the final Exodus, the third Exodus, and we're at the time of the crossing over from one dimension to another, and we're facing an open door that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 4. And we can see into the land. And we which are alive and remain will not hinder those that went on before us. And what has hindered those that went on before us is false teaching. So that means that there's a people that must fulfill all the word that was spoken concerning the end time overcomers. The end time people. Or the people of the open book. There is a people of the open book, and they must fulfill all. They're the ones that are in the vision. Now, I want to point out that there have been many Kadesh Barneas throughout the church ages. This isn't just a one-off. There have been many occasions where people have been given an opportunity to go further into a greater inheritance, and they said, we can't do it, or we're not supposed to do it. Luther declared, the just shall live by faith. He said, this faith and this faith walk, it's greater than whipping ourselves and beating ourselves and constantly looking at our failures and asking for forgiveness for the same thing over and over again. Kissing the toes off of statues and paying for every single, or praying for every single mistake over and over and over again. He said, no, we've got to accept that faith that we've been justified. And yet there were people that refused to go over into that. They refused to walk into this greater measure of the word than they had prior. And Luther was called a heretic, and those that followed after Luther's message, they were called cult members. Likewise, in John Wesley's day, there was a greater part of the inheritance that was made available to the people. And this greater inheritance was to set them free from the things of the world, to give them a new spirit, to give them new desires so that they could walk in a sanctified walk with God. Not only were they justified, but now they were cleaned up and ready for service. But the Lutherans said, oh, no, we can't do that. Nobody can go without their pipe. Nobody can go without their beer. Nobody can go without their wine. We just got to have these things. And there's just, you know, we don't have the strength to overcome this. Well, the word came to give you that strength to overcome those things. And then then there was a restoration of the gifts in the Pentecostal age. But the Wesleyans said, be careful. You know, that was for another day. So if it isn't for this day and it's taken place, it must be of the devil. And so they failed to go further into the opening of the word. And then the book was open in our day. The seals were torn off from the book, and it was handed to the church by Christ himself. And he commanded you to come and take and eat. But the Pentecostals and others, they said, well, we can't do it. Just only say what he said. That was their defense. Just only say what he said. Now, friends, we read last Sunday from a message where Brother Branham told Brother Neville's church that they were at Kadesh Barnea, and they needed to make up their minds whether or not that they would go further or just remain where they're at. Now, friends, there are blessings of God each step of the way. But what God wants for you is the word for your day. Amen. The portion of the word that you're to fulfill in your day. So he told the church, and I believe that the church is now standing on the threshold of the greatest vindication of omnipotence that the world has ever known. Let me say that again. I believe that the church is now standing on the threshold of the greatest vindication of omnipotence that the world has ever known. Oh my. The seven-sealed book of redemption was about to be opened. And it was a corner turner. It required you to, you're going this direction, it required you to change direction abruptly. And we see in Revelation chapter 10 a vision that's been fulfilled in our day. In Revelation chapter 10, that the kinsman redeemer was to descend from heaven with an open book in his hand, and he was to reveal the seven unknown thunders. First to a prophet, and then to a people, his bride, a people after his name. And these promises, friends, are laying in the word. And it's time for us to walk in them. We've had plenty of time to discuss it. We've had plenty of time to pry at it, wonder, gaze. It's time to possess. It's time to take every promise that has been given to us in our day. Everything that's accessible to us, we need to walk in. Yeah. Wake your neighbor up and say, I'm going to walk in the promises. Friends, it wasn't for other ages to walk in this vision of Revelation chapter 10.
Right.
but it's for our age. We're at the last age. We're at the end of the last age. We're at the finishing of redemption. We're at an end time. And there's a people that are being called out of church systems for his name's sake. That are being called out of church theology. And the day of man. Some say, well, you know, there's nothing special about the bride. That's just somebody trying to make themselves special. Well, I hope you didn't have that attitude. If you're a man, I hope you didn't have that attitude towards your bride. Because there was something special about your bride. Besides that, tell that to the children of Israel. Tell the children of Israel, you know, there's nothing special about you. There was. God chose that nation out of all the other nations. And they were a shadow of the Gentile bride. Tell that to Abraham and Sarah. Tell Abraham and Sarah, you know what? There's nothing special about you. Wow, it's quiet this morning. Tell that to the Amorites and the Canaanites. You guys are just as good as these people over here. Then why were they afraid of these people over here? What's special about them, friends, is that they're called of God. And that is special. Called for his name's sake. A people that are set aside for him and him only. Called to walk with him. They are literally his children. They are literally his offspring. Not figuratively, literally. They are word of his word. They believe his word. What part? All of it. And they are the only ones who will believe all the word. Let me say that again. They are the only ones that will believe all the word. You see, the marriage of the Lamb is the body of believers around the world uniting with the Word. Not coming together for some special meeting or whatever. Nothing against that. We believe in it. But friends, we're not all going to come into one mind and one accord because we got brother so-and-so and we got certain meetings and we got people together. No, it's happening already all around the world. So the people, the people that were sitting in Branham Tabernacle, oh, they'd seen great signs. You know, if you're not careful, you might think, man, I wished I'd have been living in that day. I wished I would have, had that opportunity. You're living in a greater time. Nothing against that. Nothing, you know, it's natural to kind of think those kind of thoughts. But they'd seen great signs. They'd seen great miracles. And they had tasted of the goodness of the land. God was calling a people out of the denominations to take them into the promised word for this day, which is a restoration of the word, and it's a revealing of what had not been previously revealed throughout the ages until now, and to take them into a body change and to a wedding supper. In order to accomplish this, God first sent a prophet. And he sent a prophet because that's his pattern. He always does that. He will do nothing except he first reveal it unto his servants, the prophets. So he visited his prophet here in the end time with a pillar of fire. And he gave him signs to vindicate that it was God that was with him. And that God had called him and given him that ministry. So just as it was with Moses, he was set apart from the soothsayers and the magicians and others from that day. And God gave signs to him to prove that it was his voice that was speaking. Even though we heard Brother Branham speak as well. But it was the voice of God that was speaking. And the voice of God was calling a people out of something and calling a people into something. Yet many appeared to come out. They came out of something, sort of. And yet they carried on and believed just like they did what they came out of. Yet they wouldn't go into what they were being called into. They recognized that Egypt was wrong. They recognized that it was bondage and slavery, yet they lacked the faith to enter into the promised land. And they died in the wilderness. They went around and around and around, coming back to the same spot over and over again. Whether it was coming back to God sent a prophet or to something else. You know, there are people that have one thought that they preach and they go around and around and they always end up at the same thought. Right? Son of man, seven thunders, whatever it is. They got one thought. And everything is to bring you back to that one thought. Friends, there's a whole lot more than one thought. I don't know about you this morning, friends, but I want to be one that is going into the promises and not one that's buried in the wilderness. I don't want to be a wanderer in the wilderness in this hour. You know, wilderness wanderers say, what do you think? Well, I think this. What do you think? We're beyond what do you think. It's vindication time. I want to be a possessor, friends, of the full inheritance. I want to possess all that God has for us in this hour. I don't want a partial word. I want all the word. In every age, friends, there's always been those that will settle down and they lack the faith to walk in the present truth. They'll walk in a portion of it, but they won't walk in all of it. Now, I'm not called to this message just to become another church member. I'm not called to this message to be religious. I'm not called to this message because it's, you know, something different, something to do. God called me in this day. You put your name in there. God called me in this day to walk in the promises that have been prophesied for my day. For this day. And he's big enough to help me to walk in those things. To see that I do. So it takes something down on the inside that's longing to see the things of God that are promised for this time. Now, friends, no doubt we are all walking with the Lord alone in our personal walk with the Lord. And probably there's not a person in the building that doesn't just think sometimes, you know, why aren't we walking in this or why aren't we walking in that? You need to take the we out, right? Because it's you. Right? So if there's a desire there, then your prayer ought to be, Lord, take me into that. It's not for us to sit back and, you know, well, why isn't Jude this? And why isn't, why isn't Lucas that? And looked right at you and forgot your name. It only happens with people that I know. Of course, if I don't know you, I don't know your name. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, we'll become spectators. We'll look at everybody else and we'll actually think in our own minds. I'm not getting on you. It's just kind of a human thing to do. We'll actually get in our own minds. Well, why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? You know, it's like I was, you know, at Raytheon, we had a large portion of our population that was heading towards retirement. And it was a much larger portion than, say, the, you know, there was a whole bunch of 50 and 60 year olds. And then there was hardly any 30s and 40 year olds. And then there was a bunch of 20 year olds because they, you know, they went a long period of time without hiring. And then they hired some more. And so you ended up with, you know, the quote unquote experts and the newbies and the newbies, you know, after serving faithfully for 5 years or so, they're thinking, okay, where's the upward mobility? You know, I want some more responsibility. I want some more leadership roles and what have you. And I was trying to get across to them. I said, look, you know, I understand your frustration. You know, I'm experiencing it myself. I was one of the few that was kind of in the in-between group. I wasn't the newbie and I wasn't the old guy. And I could see that there's a whole group that are going to go out the door. And because they're all in the same kind of age group, they're going to go out all at once. Right. So there's going to go from no opportunities to more opportunities than we got bodies to fill. Right. And so I'm trying to work on their thinking, knowing that when you move from being a spectator to being the leader, there's a whole different way of thinking. Yeah. There's a whole different way of being. You're not going around grousing any longer. You're not going around, why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? And why doesn't somebody do this? Right? You'll walk down a sidewalk on the way to another building to go have lunch, and you'll see a tree branch laying on the sidewalk. And you'll say, well, geez, why doesn't somebody pick up that branch? You know, why doesn't somebody call facilities? You know, this is the second or third day that I've come by here, and that branch is in the way. Why doesn't somebody do something about it? Right? But guess what? Eventually, you become that person. Who do you think is supposed to do something about it? The one that saw it. Oh, you want to be a leader? Take charge. You take charge, they'll make you a leader. When the positions open up, you have to prove that you're a leader before you'll get the position of a leader. And God does the same thing. God tests and tries you before he gives you. And it's a good thing that he does it this way, friends, because power without character is satanic. So he builds that character in you first, and then he gives you the authority that comes with that, right? So there's a whole different change of thinking that has to take place, because you go from being, I'm not in control. It's not unlike growing up in your own household. You know, your dad's the boss. Your mom and dad set the rules for the house, right? And you don't get to change the rules. You can discuss and whatever, but you don't get to change the rules. But then all of a sudden you come of age, and perhaps you get married, you move out of the house, and now all of a sudden you're the one making the rules. Guess what? You're the one paying the rent too, and the utilities. So all that harping about shut the door, you born in a barn, all that harping, it comes back to you when you see the utility bill, $400 for electricity. Really? What happened? Well, you never shut the door, and you set it for 60. So there's a transition that has to take place. It's no different for you and I. We're all growing spiritually. We're becoming more and more mature. But the body of Christ has become more and more mature here in the end time. And we move from a time of, well, why isn't this happening and why isn't that happening, to the fullness of the word being restored. And now it's supposed to be happening. So if it isn't, you don't sit around and say, well, I guess when we have special meetings, maybe something like that will happen. Or I'm waiting for somebody to get up and shout in church, then maybe I'll shout. Or, you know, you say, well, that's just a little thing. Well, why isn't there more of it then? If it's a little thing, if it's easy. We're sitting back watching everybody else. Right? Instead of recognizing, you know what, God, you gave me a promise. And it's supposed to be here. Right? I've been struggling with these allergies, but Lord, I believe that your word says that I can be free of this. I've been struggling with anxiety, but Lord, your word says that that anxious devil don't have to stay on my land. I don't have to wait for a certain minister to come by. Lord, it's in your word. The promise is for me. Hallelujah. That's what a mature body does. That's what a body that's coming to adoption does. So I'm not called to this message just to perpetuate another move of God or to become just another church member. God called me to walk in the word for my day, in the promises for my day. So, and it takes something, as I said, it takes something down on the inside, not something outside, something down on the inside that's longing to see the things of God that are promised for this time. Oh, friends, God always puts that longing there first. You know, the message that of the day that you're living in, there'll be a longing for it. There'll be a dissatisfaction with other things. And it's not that you're ungrateful. You tried. You tried to be satisfied in the Lutheran church. Just didn't work. You tried to be satisfied in the Presbyterian church. Just didn't work. There was something down on the inside of you that was longing for more. And you were longing for more because there's more for you. So there are reproaches of Egypt that have been handed down from generations. And there are things that look like they should have been defeated. But they're just as the children of Israel, when they came into the land, they were told to kill every Philistine, every baby. And they didn't kill everything. And some of those things grew up. There are things that look like they should have been defeated and shouldn't have to be preached on again. They look like they were defeated once and for all by our messenger going before us. When they were struck at in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s. And they were cut away from the church of the living God. And people have failed to go into their inheritance because of these reproaches that are still amongst the people. So there's a misapplication in our day on the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to go into that here in just a moment, which talks about when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Right? Now remember, the objective of our enemy is always to take the message of our day and misinterpret it, or so that we'll miss what God is doing, and then we'll fail to take our full inheritance. Right? No sooner had the book of Acts been written, Satan came along and says, God doesn't do that anymore. That book is now closed forever. But that book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the church. That book is still being written. It matches what is originally penned in there, but it's being written in a body throughout the ages. God doesn't fill with the Holy Ghost like that anymore. The power that comes is not the same. We don't need it. Speak for yourself. The gifts are no longer available. God wants you to be sick for His glory so that Satan can heal you. That's ridiculous, friends. That word isn't the same now, Brother Baker. We aren't able to take it. They did it, but we can't. It's not for us. It's too hard. Those are all reproaches. And people that teach these things, they're not bad people. They're not devils with horns. But they lack the faith to walk into the promised word for their day. So they're not your teacher. They have come out and they've walked a certain distance. And that's great. They've walked a certain distance towards the full inheritance. And they've partaken of certain blessings along the way. But they only come so far. But friends, we don't want to just... we don't want something that's part way in this day. We want to have the whole. Because this is the day of the fullness. And as we've been taught in our message, God restored us back to the original word. Or restored the original word back to the church. The word that was in its fullness when we came up to the first church age. There were people that were standing there, friends, that were rapture ready. They were standing at the same door you and I are standing at. Paul said, we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord. You know, we went through this, spent several services on it before, just showing that how... You know, we read the Bible a certain way, but you need to understand that this. They were expecting Jesus to come back again at any time. And they fully expected Him to come in their day. You say, well, they were wrong. Yeah, and when we meet them on the other side, they won't be sorry for it. Because they were ready. What they didn't know was that there was more of a body that was to come. There were more names that were written on that book that were going to come throughout the ages until the last one came in. Yeah. But each age is living as if the Lord could come at any minute. And each age is in expectation of His coming. And He's coming. Hallelujah. So, nothing is left out now. The faith that was once delivered to the saints has been restored. Nothing is unclean. We are beyond nothing. Oh, we're beyond this. Whenever you hear somebody say we're beyond, they're making excuses. You say, oh, no, we are beyond. No, we're not beyond. We have the fullness, which means we have all of that plus. We have all of it at our disposal. If I need divine healing, it's still here. You say, oh no, we're waiting for a body change. Well, if I can't get part of my body to change, how's the whole thing going to change? If I don't believe in partial healing, how am I going to believe in total healing? This is no longer a day of partial word. And the scripture said that there would be a time when all things would be restored. The time of the restitution of all things. So this is not a day of partial word. And it's not a day of partial truth. And it's not a day of partial redemption. This is the age of the fullness of truth. And it's the age of the fullness of redemption. In the New Testament, Paul comes along and he tells us, you know what? It's no longer the hour of substitutes. But we have a word in our day. See, the Old Testament was foreshadowing something that was to come. And the things that they were, the ceremonies and the things that they kept were symbolizing something greater that was to come. Paul said, you know what? We no longer need blood from a substitute animal. The animal never was what God was ultimately wanting to be provided. God did not ultimately want shed blood of an innocent animal to take your place. In fact, it couldn't take your place. It covered your sin, but it couldn't take away your sin. But when it was that time, it was acceptable. But Paul stood up and says, you know what? We don't... Oh, he's turning a corner. He was called a heretic, friends. We just take it for granted. We look back and, you know, we don't realize just what a shift it was. Because he's saying, you know what? You're taking all these animals in to sacrifice. God don't care about that. God has no respect. Oh, okay, your fathers did it. Your forefathers. Moses did it. Yeah, you've been doing it for 2,000 years, but God's not interested in that now. God no longer has respect for that. Why? Because something greater had come along. Friends, we now have that which is perfect, which is the perfect blood of the Lamb of God. So we need to do away with the woolly lamb blood, because the woolly lamb blood is not sufficient in our day. In other words, we need to come up higher. God has brought something greater, and we need to come up into that. So this was a cornerstone, and it was a major corner turner for them. Many missed that turn. It's easy to go follow a straight line, but to turn a corner, that's where the real challenge is at. So the people didn't see that a corner was coming. They thought they had everything. They didn't see that a corner was coming, and they didn't recognize the cornerstone when it came. And we were told that that chief cornerstone would become the capstone. They didn't see that their true Sabbath had come. And therefore, they didn't see what the Sabbath really was. They thought it was the keeping of a day. In the Gentile denominations, a group rose up and they thought, well, no, it's the keeping of a certain day. It's Saturday, right? So we're gonna keep this certain day. But that's not what the day of rest is. The day of rest was foreshadowing something. It was foreshadowing the full new birth where you have entered into His rest. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is your rest. It is your Sabbath. So it's no longer, so God's not going to respect you because you keep a certain day. It's no longer what his word, it's no longer the revealed word for our day. So they didn't see that the true Sabbath had come and what the Sabbath actually represented. And many still hold on to rules and rituals, and Paul had to take a knife and cut it off and roll it back. It was fine in its day, in its time, but when something greater came, you needed to move with it. Are you with me? So there was nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. There was nothing. God wasn't repenting. There was nothing wrong with what God brought in a shadow or a type in the law. Excuse me. But the problem is what the men did with those things, making them bondage to the people. Excuse me. The day that Jesus died on Calvary. Well, let's back up for a moment. The day before he died on the cross. If you brought your lamb to the priest, it was examined, you brought it before the priest and offered it, God would accept it. But the day that Jesus died at Calvary, every lamb's sacrifice was now null and void. God no longer had respect for it. No longer was there mercy or forgiveness of sin in that ceremony. They were faced with a Kadesh Barnea that would result in them perishing if they did not go forward. Now, friends, we must be a people who go on into the full promise. And we must, and we need to realize that we are the people of the last and chosen generation, as the scripture says. And there's no other age after us. There's no other messenger after us. There's no other message. We are the partakers of the inheritance in this hour. Now, it was a great thing to come out of the denominational ranks 60 years ago, but that's not enough today. It's not enough to just come out. Now you got to go into something. That part had to be lived out. Sure. But we've traveled further down the road now. And we're facing our full inheritance. Not a partial inheritance. But a full inheritance. And it, friends, mark my word. It's not my word. It's the scripture. It will happen.
Amen.
Something in me says, that land is mine. I'm taking my mountain. I'm taking what belongs to me. And I'll run every giant off of that land. So the Joshua group needs to hear the words today. Be thou strong. And be of good courage. Elbow your neighbor and say, be of good courage. Fear not. Be thou strong and be of good courage. For unto thee have I given you this land. Don't depart from it. Stay in it. Don't walk away. Hallelujah. Friends, it's not enough to say, well, just say what he said. You know, that sounds real good, right? Actually, people, they take a quote that Brother Branham made, where he said, just say what the tape said. He was dealing with an issue. And the issue he was dealing with is there are people that were cutting and splicing and trying to make the tape say something that it didn't say. Right? They'd say part of it this and part of that and something else. And,
right.
Man, that's the first thing I ran into when I started getting around people that were following this message. I realize as nice as people are and as sweet as people are, I can't let them be my Holy Spirit. That I have to actually go and see if these things be so myself. So it didn't take me too long. Well, Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said that, Brother Branham said this, and this teaching and that teaching. And I'm listening to the tapes. I'm looking in the message, and it's like, well, that's not what I heard him say. In fact, what I heard was something different, right? We can quote one another if we're not careful. You're the one that has to eat this word. It's our job to preach it, but you've got to make it yours. Yet it's not my fault if you don't. You're being fed. Well, hallelujah. Well, just say what he said. You know, God set it up this way, said only the true elect would walk in it. Well, just say what he said. I believe that. I do believe in saying what he said, but I believe in saying what he said with understanding.
Yes.
Friends, I can just say what Jesus said, but if I don't have the understanding, if it isn't revealed to me, right, then I can say what he said all day long and nothing's going to happen.
Right.
I want to say what he said with understanding. In other words, we must be in the spirit of the word. It must be revealed to us.
Amen.
You know, a simple example, a parrot can be taught to say what you said. To maybe say what you said exactly the way you said it, right? Even where it sounds so much like you that your family will look around for you. Oh, it's that dumb bird. I thought my husband was home, but it's that dumb bird going off again. But friends, you wouldn't obey that parent saying the same words that your mom or dad said, right? Let's say you come home and the parent is speaking like your mom or your dad. Go clean your room, right? And it's the parent talking to you. Are you going to go clean your room? I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'd look at that bird and say, shut up. You're not the boss of me. Okay, you said what he said. You said what dad said. But you're not my boss. You don't have the authority to say those words.
Amen.
So you wouldn't obey that parrot, no matter how accurately that parrot would say the words. Because he's saying what he said without understanding.
Right.
And without authority. I believe that people sincerely many times believe that they are saying what Brother Branham said, or they're saying what Paul said, or they're saying what Jesus said. But their understanding is not correct. So they really aren't saying what he said. And we gave examples, last time, like on altar calls last Sunday night. You know, people saying what he said. Brother Brown's against altar calls. They read half of a quote. If you read the rest of it, you see that he wasn't against it. He was making a point. It wasn't so from the beginning. He said it became a Methodist tradition. He said in the beginning, as many as believed, they received. But then he went on and said, that's okay. That's all right. Nothing against that. Just saying it wasn't so from the beginning. And then, of course, we showed how clear up into the November of 1965, he's making altar calls. So if you say Brother Branham was against altar calls, you're not saying what he said. Denominations use the words of Jesus to bring people into bondage instead of into liberty. Why? Because they're saying what he said, but they're not saying what he said.
Amen.
Denominations in our ranks will always present to you words that are in our message. But then they'll say, if you don't see it this way or that way, then you're going to hell. Well, you're not saying what he said. And it becomes a fear thing. And it becomes bondage. We have not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. Revelation is liberating. It's sent to change you. It's sent to set you free. Not to bind you. It frees you. Not to go off in attributes of unbelief, but to go further into whom you are and into what you're called to do in this hour. So the Pharisees, they took the words of Moses and they tried to bind Jesus, who was the Word. They tried to bind the Word with the words of Moses. Brother Branham said throughout the seven church ages, he said the Holy Spirit had been bound, right? Been bound by their traditions and by men's teaching. They tried to bind Jesus using words that Moses spoke. Oh, we're just saying what he said. And here's the word standing before him. He says, I gave Moses those words. That ain't what he said. I was using his lips. That's not what he was saying. Every Bible scripture can be misapplied. Every Bible verse can be twisted. We did that as Baptists. And so do all the other denominations. Friends, we have the full word. The word, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And you can't have the whole and have a part of it missing. Or a part of it misplaced or coded. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries. So he's saying that you can understand all mysteries, but without the capstone of love, you're nothing.
Right.
Oh, but understanding all the mysteries, that's number one. No, it ain't. It's part of it. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, it's kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. Doth not believe itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. This is talking about a mature son or daughter of God. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all. So it's not going around, this person did this and that. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Let's go spread that. But instead, rejoicing in, did you hear so-and-so got healed? Did you hear so-and-so got delivered? Did you hear so-and-so believe the word? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth.
Right.
They're always talking about, did you read this? Did you read that? Oh man, this just broke on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. So Paul is speaking of a time when we would be completely restored back to what we had before the fall, when everything would be in perfection. And in this state of perfection, there would be no need for tongues. There would be no need for prophecy. There would be no need for the gifts of knowledge. For we will know all things. You won't need divine healing because you're in your glorified body.
Amen.
You'll never be sick again. We'll all speak the same language. What it is, I don't know, but it probably won't be English. Hallelujah. It'll be perfection. When we reach that place, we will no longer be incomplete. We will be fully mature. The fullness of the adoption. The change of your body. That's when you'll know as you are known. Right? For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We know in part now. No one knows all things now. Not even a prophet. That's hard for people. God doesn't reveal everything to his prophets. This scripture has been misused for 2,000 years now. Since it was written. And it's misused to bring people into bondage. Men have rose up throughout the ages, in every age, saying, there's no more miracles. They've had the true messenger that was identified in every age, the supernatural was with them. That was one of the things that set them off. Men have rose up throughout the ages saying there are no more miracles, there are no more gifts of the Spirit, there are no more prophecies, because we now have the Word. We have what Paul taught. It's the Word, the Word, the Word. Guess what? That's what we said as Baptists. And boy, were we proud of it. And you can see how proud we were. So that's what we were taught. It's all done away with. You know, they needed that in the early church because God was starting to work and, you know, it needed to get this established. So they needed those things. But we don't need it now. We got something better. We got the Word. So we were taught that all of that had been done away with. Friends, that is the reproach of Egypt. Right. Mike brought me Augie's sword. It's back there. I was going to bring it out, but maybe I'll bring it out tonight. It's a nice sword. Got a little eagle on the handle there, and I think it's a family keepsake. Been in the family for generations, and it's not very sharp because Dad loved the kids too much to leave an edge on it, so he dulled it. But it's a real sword. Bring it out. Show you. It cuts. I was talking with someone here the other day, you know, Brother Andy, I think. And, you know, Brother Andy said, well, you know, that sword you brought out here last Sunday, he said, that ain't going to hurt anybody. Yeah, it's my grandson's sword, you know. You're not going to hurt anything. But I'm not trained with that, right? He said, but what you're preaching, that's a sharp sword, yeah. Right? And it cuts. Amen. And we are trained with that. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. So I'm going to be real careful with that sword, Brother Augie. evidently Peter wasn't trained with the sword either. Right? Ended up taking somebody's ear off. And God showing him that, look, that's not the sword that you're going to use. But it's a symbol of something. So it's the reproach of Egypt. And I can stand here as your pastor this morning without a bit of fear and call that those things the reproach of Egypt that must be cut off.
Amen.
It's not personal. I don't care who teaches it. I don't care who propagates it. It's either right or it's wrong. If it's not in the Word, cut it off.
Amen.
From the very first sounding of the message, a voice cried out, roll back the reproach of Egypt from these people. And friends, we need all those things. The Word still discerns. The Word still cuts. The Word will discern your situation right from the pulpit, showing that God knows your situation and that He cares for you. And we know that all the gifts will cease one day. I won't need them in the millennium. But not until we're complete. That can get quiet on me all you want, but... Well, just get the giver. What does giver mean? Somebody who gives. My wife got the giver. Not sure if I'm a very good giver, but she got the giver. Her husband, right? But when she got the giver started giving her things, right? Now, if I never gave her anything, she could question whether or not I was a giver, right? But she knows that I'm a giver. Why? Because I give. Oh, I take too, but that's another story. Oh, I've heard all the arguments, friends. Oh, well, that's a minor. Okay, well, you ought to have the minor then. Well, we don't want to major on a minor. Who's majoring on it? If I'm sick and I need healing, he's my healer.
Yeah.
Friends, he was a healer in the Old Testament.
Amen.
And now we don't need it any longer? Jesus Christ is saved yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So we know that all the gifts will cease one day, but not until we're complete. Not until my body changes. We are nearer to that than we've ever been before. But I still need divine healing until then. Brother Branham had prayer lines when the word came open. Brother Branham said the best way was for you know, the Gentile way is to, they hear it, they believe it. Right? That is the best way. But if you're not there and you need healing, and you can receive it through the laying on of hands or some other way, those things still apply.
Amen.
Yes, come up higher. But we're not doing away with something that God isn't doing away with. So he's bringing his church to perfection. We know that. And we know that we're on the road today to come into perfection in Christ. Just like preaching. Preaching will cease one day. When? When we all come into the unity of the faith. Into the full stature. Right? But churches are preaching no such thing as divine healing anymore. That was cut off, Brother Joe, in the 40s, in the 50s. David and Goliath. No such thing as divine healing anymore. Nobody can interpret dreams. Well, then why are people still dreaming? There's no more miracles, prophecies, or tongues. Well, it's the first time in human history then. You mean to tell me that you never get sick? No wonder you believe we're in the millennium. But friends, he saves us from sickness as well as from sin. I need all of those things until the body's changed. Luther had a part. Wesley had a part. Pentecost brought a portion. And that part has now all been absorbed into the fullness. Not done away with. All of that plus. Let's look at an example of saying what he said, but not saying what he said. Questions and answers. 1 Corinthians 13 says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So, all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues, and all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication, then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. So if all you do is read that one quote, you're going to say, well, just say what he said. Well, it is also written. And you have to apply it as it was meant. Men will take this quote and they will say, jumping up and down and speaking in tongues is over with. Well, what if you've never done that? Well, that person's just a baby. Well, guess what? I was a baby. You were babies. Well, the perfect word is come, Brother Augie. But you see, that's not what Brother Branham was saying here. What he said was trying to speak in tongues. He was correcting a false teaching.
Right.
Trying to speak in tongues. The Pentecostal movement tried to get people to speak in tongues.
Yes.
To experience some sort of an emotion. To trip over their tongue. And then they told them, you have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And that is an error.
Yeah.
I've had people ask me over the years, why don't you, Brother Baker, why don't you teach on speaking in tongues and the other gifts? Speaking in tongues is not something that I have to teach in order for you to do it. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an emotion, but it is, and it's not something that you scare people into accepting. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally, and it brings power into your life, and you become a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new, and that will bring emotion with it, but tongues have absolutely nothing to do with it. Brother Branham was not doing away with tongues. Paul said, he put it in order. He said that the word has taken us from trying to speak with tongues and so forth. It all must dovetail together. And you know I'm going to give you another example. So the word came in our day, friends, to give us a more perfect understanding. It cleared up the new birth. It cleared up all these other things that had gotten scrupled up. And we know better than the childish ways of the Pentecostal movement. We have the genuine. We don't have to manufacture a thing. We don't want to manufacture anything. We have been coming to a full birth for three church ages now. It started with justification with Luther's day. It continued with sanctification in Wesley's day. The restoration of the gifts with Pentecost. Those under a partial restoration in each age. They are the bride of all the ages, and they had the life. But the token didn't come until the evening time. Now we have the fullness of the word. Now the person of the word has come into that third realm. It's not just anointing your flesh, not just anointing your spirit, but coming down into that third realm, into your soul, in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost to sup with you and you with him. It's the very nature of Christ now on the inside, and your life has changed. You have passed from death unto life. You are now, your soul is now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your life comes into subjection to the Word of God. Childish means that it is in part and not in the whole. But the part is included in the whole. So we can't be complete with only a part of the Word. In other words, friends, well, we got the fullness of the Word. Yeah, okay. So the message of justification. Do you still have to be justified? Of course you do. You still have to accept by faith that Jesus is your sacrifice, your Savior. You still have to accept that by faith. Right? How about sanctification? Is that done away with? Oh, we're just going to get rid of the things that embarrass us or that we're not comfortable with. Well, evidently that's done away with too in some places. No. We still have that. The restoration of the gifts, we still have that. Christ coming down on the inside, quickening you, revealing himself to you, you better have that. And now we're headed toward a body change. So whatever is in the word, that's what we believe. And what we believe is what we will manifest in our lives. Now, can I have just a couple more minutes? Amen. Junior Jackson was a man that had a dream or a vision, and he had a spiritual visitation, and he shared it with Brother Branham, and he asked him what it meant. He saw Brother Branham climbing up the side of a mountain, and there were mysterious symbols that were written on the side, and he was interpreting as he went up. And when he got to the top, he used a tool like a pry bar to pry up the top of the mountain, and he saw in it a white stone with nothing written on it. He didn't have the interpretation of what it meant, so he turned and told the people, "Stay here as I go westward to get the interpretation." And Brother Branham went out west. He was caught up in a constellation of seven angels near Sunset Peak in 1963. And the angels commissioned him to go back to Jeffersonville and to bring the revelation of the seven sealed mysteries of the book of Revelations, the seven unknown thunders. And these are the mysteries that John was told to seal up. And Revelation 10 tells us that it would be revealed by the seventh angel. And it's in the Bible, in the days of the voice.
Amen.
That mystery of God would be finished. Malachi 4 tells us that Elijah would be sent before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the burning of the earth. God promised it. Acts 3:19 tells us, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So what has he spoken by the mouth of his prophets? The word. So Jesus cannot return until all things have been restored. And all things can't be restored until first the word is restored and then the man is restored. All things are restored when we walk out in the millennium. That's the fullness of it, friends. Man's interpretation of the word had to be restored first, though, because it was the word that man fell from. In the first church, everybody knew that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the fullness of the new birth. I'm saying before the word Ephesian church age was even mentioned. The 30 years before many of those books were even written.
Right.
It was living word that was being preached.
Yes.
They knew what it meant. But through the dark ages, the truth has been lost. Luther began to bring out faith. Wesley continued on saying, "Believing is good, but you need a cleansing. There needs to be some work that follows that faith." Pentecost comes along with Azusa Street, the restoration of the gifts. But a restored truth brings us back to the fullness to receive in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not by believing only, but after you believe. The person of the Holy Ghost comes in to possess you, to fill you. And it's more than just professing Christ. You now have the word. Brother Branham goes on to say, in Standing in the Gap, he says, "Well, the interpretation of that, of course, was given here at the church before it come to pass." He says, "The time is now that I believe that the full revelation through the age of Luther, Wesley, John Smith, Alexander Campbell, and different ones that preached on the Bible, and then we got over in the Bible and showed that there would be a seventh angel's message, and at the sounding of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God would be made known. Then come seven mysterious thunders." And now, if it is that end age that we're living in, where we've come up through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, we've had signs and wonders and different things, and the gifts has returned to the church, such as divine healing and prophecy and speaking with tongues and interpretations. And though it's been misrepresented terrifically, but yet that don't take away, there is a good one. There is a true one of a real, genuine, a gift of speaking in tongues that's always supposed to be in the church.
Amen.
Oh, but we just want to point out the hypocrite and then throw everything out because there was a hypocrite. There's always going to be hypocrites. So you can take one statement and say, "Well, he said this such and such," and still not say what he said. Because this, it's like building a puzzle. The pieces have to fit together. And you can't force them. So where does this statement fit with that one? And friends, you have to get neutral. That's where the purging comes in. You have to be willing to say, oh, I was wrong. My understanding wasn't right. You know, in fact, that's we're all growing from glory to glory. And it takes the Word to do that. When we try to fit these things together with a mental understanding, we can get all kinds of interpretations. But there's only one correct interpretation, and that's what we want. There's a word that's been allotted to our generation, and it must be fulfilled. And it is being fulfilled. We had to have a work of restoration to bring us back to what Paul preached. And even to the things that Paul didn't preach but are in the Bible. The complete mystery doesn't do away with the part of it that you had before the complete mystery came. Is tongues our emphasis? Of course not. But the parts make up the whole of our perfection. Yeah. Well, that which is perfect has come. So that which is in part shall be done away with. We don't do away with the part, but we have what we've done away with is just having a part.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
They did away with the sacrifice of a lamb when Jesus came.
Right.
But they didn't do away with the sacrifice of the lamb. Jesus was the fulfillment of it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We did away with the law, but we didn't do away with the law, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you, He writes His law upon your heart, and you fulfill the law. So we have the full word again, no longer just a part. And Revelation 10 must be made known somewhere, sometime, in order for the fullness of redemption to take place, which Paul says is the change of our bodies. Until then, it's just a part. To the denominations, the book is still sealed to them. In fact, I'll tell you, most of them will tell you, stay out of the book of Revelations. You just get confused. I already was confused. We know that God does nothing until He first reveals it to His servants, the prophets. And we aren't going to allow some Egyptian to keep us in bondage any longer. The Son has set you free.
Amen.
And whom the Son has set free, He is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
We have the whole truth. And we are taking the whole truth, not just a part of it. That's the key, friends. We're taking it all. If you have the Word, you have divine healing. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
You have it all.
Amen.
If you have the Word, then whatever's in the Word is in you.
Amen.
When we are in our new bodies, the things that Paul spoke of will be done away with, because we won't need them then. But until then, let's keep the church, the true church of Christ, doctrine, and not the church of Christ doctrine. Let's keep the church of Christ doctrine out of here and keep the true church of Christ doctrine. You know, they couldn't even agree with themselves. You know, they had the praise and the non-praise. You know, they split. Here's church of Christ, they got instruments. Here's church of Christ, they don't. We got that same spirit in our ranks. Right? You guys got too many instruments. Okay, Church of Christ, how many? What's the right number? Read the last psalm and tell me that we got too many instruments. I'll praise Him on the low psaltery, on the high psaltery, on the harp, on the timbrel. Let everything that's in me praise Him. Sure, We could emphasize music over everything else and get out of balance. But we're not. This is creating an atmosphere. And guess what? We still need it. We still need the atmosphere to be changed before the word comes forth. And we still water the word when we receive it. And it produces something in our life. We don't take some dead, cold something out with us, but it's quickened. We don't want to bring Egyptian shackles into this truth to take away the very power of the word. So it's time, friends, that we not only have a form of godliness, but we have the power thereof. It's time that we circumcise a new generation that's going to take the land and that's going to possess every promise that's in this word for us in our day. We aren't satisfied with part of it. I'm not condemning part of it. I'm just saying I want all of it. I want everything that I'm supposed to have. We want more than just a taste. We want to possess. We want every divine promise that we're supposed to be walking in. We're not satisfied with just a part of it. We want more than just a part, because our day is to have more than just a part. Our day is the fullness of the word restored to the church. So friends, let's roll away the reproach of Egypt off of our lives. Let's roll away the reproach of Egypt off of our thinking. Would you say, I want all that you have for me in this hour, Lord? Would that be your testimony this morning? Would that be your desire? Would your desire be, Lord, let me walk in every divine promise that you've allocated for my day? I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to be critical. I don't even care what I got to believe, Lord. I just want it to be in your word. But I want to believe what you want me to believe, and I want to walk in what you want me to walk in. We don't need to practice a prayer language, friends. We aren't looking to emphasize gifts. And if we have the giver, we have everything that the giver gives. And we don't have to work at it. We don't have to seek after it. Are we ready to go into the full inheritance? Are we ready, or are we going to listen to those that lack the faith concerning the promises? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing about, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. Brother Bram's got to come back, and you know, Moses has got to come back, and go dispute with Lucifer over his body then. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Amen. Friends, that's our day. That's our message. Every promise. There's still dreams in the church. I don't tell you everything that happens. And there's still interpretation that takes place. Isn't that right? Every dream is not interpreted, because every dream is not of the Lord. But there are still things in the body. There's still healing. How many can say, you know what? The Lord's my healer. There's still deliverance. How many can say, I've been delivered? There's still cleansing power. How many can say, I've been given a new spirit? There's still salvation. How many can say, I believe? Hallelujah. It's all here. And it's all needful. So let's roll back the reproach of Egypt that's trying to keep us from possessing every divine promise that's been given to us. Let's go into our full inheritance. Forget about those. Friends, don't talk about those that lack the faith to go into the promise. Feel sorry for them. Pray for them. Maybe they will come. Maybe they're just delayed. But don't let it stop you. It's not you and this person. You're not tethered to someone else. You're walking with him. Every one of us is walking with him. We might be at a Kadesh today for some of us, no doubt. Do we just want a taste of his goodness? Do we want to just look into the land or hear the reports of others? Or are we ready to partake of what belongs to us? Do we realize that there's something greater for us? We shouldn't be waiting for anything, friends. What we have is here. Do we want to go higher in him? Oh, I'd just about like to take another service right now. Or are we refusing any part of him? Every truth concerning the bride has been restored. Whatever the first church had, whatever the original church had, that's what I want. Lutherans are nice people, but they've stopped. Wesleyans are good people, but they deny the power. I have a lot of Wesleyan relatives in Indiana, Pilgrim Holiness, part of the holiness movement. They denied the power, did not go on from there. I love them dearly. Nice people. Clean. The Pentecostals, organization, they're spirited. They want more than others, but they miss the person of the word. They miss the fullness. They run off with the gift instead of getting the giver. Many have a portion. Many have a part. We don't deny that. But we want all that he has for us. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
And we shouldn't be afraid of these things. If it's in the word, we shouldn't be afraid of it.
That's right.
The things that are in the land, just because somebody else is afraid of it. If the word is speaking to you, friends, then you don't want to settle over in Moab. Like half the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Manasseh, take your inheritance outside of the land. You don't want to settle in Moab and never cross over. You want everything that belongs to you.
Amen.
And so you're willing to roll these things off of your lives. Whether others go, friends, when you go into the land, it's not let's go. We go as individuals. When you get into the land, you find that there's others in the land and you rejoice. But whether or not they come into the land, you're going. Because the promise is unto you and to your children and to your children's children, to them that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. Let's roll it off. Lord, circumcise me by the Holy Ghost. Cut away. Let there be that 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when you come to this feast. When you come to this feast, as Brother Branham saw when he was getting ready to, he was 2/3 of the way of the River Jordan. First pole, second pole, third pole, opening of the word. He's 2/3 of the way there. To go into there, you're going to have to be more sincere. He was turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 16, verse 16, 17, 18. When you come to this feast, don't come with the malice of leaven and all these. It's got to be, the reproach has to be rolled back. You can't take your thoughts into the fullness of the word. You can't take your denominational ideas. You got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm zealously repenting. I didn't know that that was the truth. But now that I know, I'm going to let go of this thing. I'm going to let go of whatever I was holding on to here or here or here or here. I'm not going to, you know, there are some of us, friends, I'm not picking on anybody here this morning. You know, sometimes we drag our feet, I suppose. There are some amongst us that actually believe that it's okay for us to all think different thoughts and have different thoughts. How are you ever going to come to the unity of the faith if that's true? We're here to come. And it's not threatening. It's not, you know, I'm going to put you out because you haven't, you know, come into this thought or you don't agree on that. We're not fussing with one another, but we do need to come to the unity of the faith, right? And only Christ can take us to that. But we have to be willing to say, Lord, cut away. Purge. I mean, our prophet gave us the example. He was being purged when the book was coming open. He was preaching that the white horse rider was Christ. It was the Antichrist. He had to be purged. And he admitted it. He didn't say, well, you know, I never really said that. You just misunderstood me. Right? He said, I was dead wrong. And if I'd have come to the pulpit preaching that, I'd have been a million miles off. Right? But he zealously repented. Why? Because truth cuts, it sets you free. Friends, I've made this statement time and time again. I'm going to make it again. We need to We need to say, God, if I've got spiritual pride, take it away.
Amen.
Because spiritual pride wants to be right. I don't want to be right. I want to be correct. And there's a difference. If you are birthed by the Holy Spirit, you are correctable. Right? That means you can be corrected. That means you don't take it personal.
Amen.
When your doctrine is tuned up. If you've got a loved one that went back into the world drinking, doing things that they're not supposed to do, and you say, well, you know, they're filled with the Holy Ghost and they'll come back. No. They may come back, but don't say they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's mean. And no, that's your doctrine. Because if the Holy Spirit can't keep you, then what good is it? If becoming a new creature means you can, if becoming a butterfly means you can become a caterpillar again, old things have passed away. Peter didn't cut off any more ears after he received the Holy Ghost. He didn't cuss and deny the Lord.
Amen.
Something happened.
Amen.
Something keeps holding me.
Amen.
There's a change that took place. That's just one example, friends. We can go on and on and on and on. You got to be willing to be stripped of your doctrine. You say, oh, well, that's mean. No, it isn't mean. God's word is the truth. Let every word, let man's word be a lie.
Amen.
We want the truth. And it's liberating.
Amen.
It sets us free.
Yes.
So that we can come up higher.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us will come to church time in and time out. And maybe we're coming because of somebody else. Maybe we, you know, we're passing the time. Or maybe we're thinking, you know, we're comfortable thinking, well, you know, this is sort of right, but I think Brother Baker's a little extreme. I think all these people are a little extreme, but you know, I'm going to be balanced. You need to come up higher, right? Because this isn't about me, and it's not about you. It's about Him. It's about the Word being restored in a body.
Amen.
Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Hallelujah. Let's stand. The musicians would make your way up. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
What song was I just going through my head? Something keeps holding me. Yeah. Do we know that? I don't. You're saying it by faith that I know it. No. Can we put those words up? Something keeps holding me. Thank you. The trials of this world were getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. I was on giving older, the strength within myself just wasn't there, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully. Help.
Something keeps holding me. He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trial. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality. There's something keeps holding me. Something keeps holding me.